Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to the post-game show. It's James Hollis and it's Colin Letty. Welcome to the Celtics post-game show. Colin, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? Another snoozer by the end of it for us.
So the Pacers have an all-star. They have a deep team. They play hard. They play together. They're gritty. They're gutty. And the Celtics just smashed them by almost 30 points. It's almost becoming mundane how well Boston's playing. Did you watch the whole game?
Of course. I might have taken a nap in the fourth quarter, but that was about it.
Yeah, it was hard to watch the end. I remember, I think it was in the third when they closed it. They got down to like 10, almost down to like the 12 or 10. And Boston just put their foot back on the gas and it was over with. So it's coming together, man. It's happening. It's really happening. The Celtics came into the season with a lot of fanfare. They start off the year very disappointing, right? I think we all agree when they start off and they were what, like, I think they were 10-10 at one point, I believe. No one was impressed. They were a mess, you know. They weren't quite pointing fingers in the locker room, but you know, they talked about how there was selfish play and guys had different agendas. It took the coach got smart by inserting Smart. You know, they put Smart in the starting lineup. Did you know that since Smart's been in the lineup November 26th, that the Celtics have the best offense in the NBA?
I did. Who would have thought, right?
They're scoring 116 points per 100 possessions, right? Just ahead of the Rockets, you know. So it's what a remarkable turnaround. What a remarkable turnaround. So, yeah, the Boston wins tonight. They beat the Pacers. Let's be accurate. 135, season high for the Celtics. Pacers scored 108. The Celtics, of course, Kyrie was a bad man, as always. But today they were led by Jason Tatum and Marcus Morris. Morris scored 22, 8 rebounds. Tatum, 20 points. 9-for-15, extremely efficient, and which is nice to see because Tatum's been kind of in a slump lately. You know, it was just a beatdown. Everyone who got the game scored. One of the first times you see that. Boston was just incredible tonight. This team it's everything that I envisioned just a couple months later, but it's working.
Absolutely. I mean, there was really no point in the game where I was worried. I mean, was there for you? I mean, by the halfway through the second quarter, it was pretty much over.
Yeah, man, they start off. I think I came in a little late and I saw it was already like 18-8 when I came in. I started watching the game. They won the battle on the boards. They crushed them on the boards, 48-39. They won the assist battle. Again, the Celtics was another game with over 30 assists. They had 32 assists, 26. They see turnover. Only 13 turnovers to Boston, which is, you know, not bad. And it's crazy because the Pacers only had 11 turnovers, you know, and they scored 108 points.
Yeah.
And they got beat by almost 30. The key to the game, I think, is, again, the guys are just making shots. You know, early in the season, a big problem Boston had was they were getting the offense would generate all these open looks according to synergy and all the motion tracking data, but they just weren't making shots. Well, they're making shots now. A lot of people hit threes. They went 14-for-32 from deep. They're making their free throws. So once the shots start dropping, everything changes. And, you know, I think Kyrie, Jason Tatum, all of them said it early on. They weren't worried. They said the shots will start dropping, and here we are.
Yeah, and you have seven guys in double digits. You were able to get Al Horford off his feet. You know, he was supposed to only play, you know, 28 minutes max, and they only needed him for 18. Tatum came out hot, 5-for-7. So, I mean, everything you really wanted to see. And this was, you know, they won three straight games, the Celtics, but they were all against teams that were under 500. This was really a, I don't know about a marquee win, but it was a step in the right direction that they can beat. You know, they can just beat down on good teams at times.
It might not be a marquee win, I agree with you, but I'll call it a statement win, you know.
Right, that's a good team.
The Pacers are 27-14. They're ahead of them in the standings. They've I think they've been on a little roll lately. You know, Oladipo, like I said, he played like an all-star. They held Oladipo to 17 points. He you know, not the fact that he didn't shoot. He only took 13 shots. So they did a good – they made a wall and they corralled him. And, you know, so what? Sabonis scored 20. You know, that's not going to hurt you, especially when he was a minus 22, his net rating. So, I have no complaints about this game at all. There's not much to analyze, right, when it's just a beatdown like that. And I was watching the game on the, you know, the Celtics feed, and, like, they say it, like, hey, Jason Tatum goes to the bench, and here comes Gordon Hayward. You know, Hayward had a nice – again, he had a very strong performance. And I think we're close to seeing Gordon Hayward being back to being Gordon Hayward. He only played 22 minutes. He made five of his seven shots. Nice stat line. This is beautiful, man. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal to boot. You know, he looked more important than the numbers. He looked like aggressive going to the hole. He had one play where he just caught the ball. He turned the corner on the guy, got him a tip, and was at the rim. You know, he's looking more and more like he's putting the gruesome injury behind him.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it when he scores 35 points, and then we see him take more of a passive role in this game when he sees other guys are hot and he just tries to get them opportunities. I mean, a little passive, but with the depth on this team, I think he did exactly what his role should have been tonight.
Absolutely, and I think all the guys, not just Gordon Hayward, but especially Jaylen Brown also, even though Jaylen Brown played extended garbage time, and he got his 22 points, but he's still flashing in the little wild ways. But the point is, I think all these guys are starting to figure out that it's okay to – sure, you can kill the man in front of you, and you can probably beat that guy, but it's okay to look for a better shot. And, you know, Gordon, it might come up as passive, but, they're, you know, the ball's moving, the ball's humming, and they're looking for each other. I'd rather them be a little too selfless than to be a little too selfish. So I thought that was pretty cool. Our boy Jaylen, 3 assists tonight, but I saw he's looking for guys. He's not just driving and looking to shoot. He's looking to kick now, and that's a big improvement with him. Jaylen, too often in the past, had tunnel vision, where he gets downhill, get into the teeth of defense, and he's like, I'm going to score over 3 guys. And he's getting away from that a little bit. Good to see. That's really good to see. I mean, there's not much to say. You got anything to say about this game?
I mean, the game itself, it's, you know, they worked them up and down the floor. I thought Tice stepped up really nicely for Baines. You know, obviously Baines is out. And 73 bench points, obviously a lot of that came in the fourth quarter. I mean, they scored 105.3 quarters. Game was over. But if you just want to look at the first 3 quarters of the game, I mean, I thought Smart was really good on Oladipo. Tice had was great, high, low, 3-point play. You know, Morris was obviously huge. I mean, Morris is just an X factor every night. You just don't know what you're going to get. If he's on a lot of other teams, he has a much, you know, he has a wicked increased role. But even on this
thing
team,
about Morris,
he's shining.
Then you know what? I'll say this. Last season, you might not have been sure what you'd get from Morris, but this year he has been lights out. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of another time a role player went from what he was last year. He was fine last year, right? He was fine.
Right. He was still good. He took it to another level, though.
Good. Yeah, it's I've never seen a guy just – I mean, his shot – like, he's never been a great shooter. He was okay, streaky. He is so confident, and he is so locked in. He went 3 for 3 for 3 tonight. And even though, like you said, it never got close, but Indiana had, like – the second half of the third quarter, they kind of start picking up the pace a little bit. Boston had a timeout. They got it down to like 10 or 8 maybe. And Indiana felt like, you know, they thought they could make a push. And Moore started hitting shots. He started hitting shots. I saw he hit a couple pull-ups, mid-range, hit a 3. And he basically – him, you know, along with obviously the rest of the Celtics stepping up, they slammed the door at the end of the third. And, you know, fourth quarter was basically all garbage time, so – I can't speak enough about Marcus Morris and how good he's been.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Morris. Yeah.
So we know Kyrie Irving is the best Celtic this year. I think last year there was a little around the basketball intelligentsia, there was a little debate about who was the best Celtic. no matter what, Kyrie now is undoubtedly the best Celtic. He's an MVP candidate. Who is the second best Celtic right now?
I mean, they're second best and they're second most important. Say, looking down the lineup, I mean, the second best, I mean, it has to be Tatum right now. At least in this last couple. But you can make an argument.
I want to say that too, man. I was going to say, I think Marcus Morris might have a discussion for the second best playing Celtic right now. Because
who's
been
more replaceable right now?
I mean, it's going to be, no matter what, it's going to be Morris, right? He's older, whatever,
right.
The contract. But I'm just saying right now on the court, Tatum's a huge building block. He's a franchise. We get that.
No, I get that.
Like,
I would
right
say right now,
yeah.
Who's more important?
It's hard for me to – it's hard for me not to say that it's – I mean, he's – Marcus Morris is playing at, an awesome level right now.
We have a team of guys who could be all-stars and who have been all-stars, and Morris really should be getting at least some talk, at least from the Celtics fans. I'm surprised there's not a push for him.
You know what? I have seen some. Some people mention it, and it's not as crazy as it seems at all because he's playing that well. But, I guess our boy Jason Tatum had a little swing there. He had a 3 or 4 game stretch where he wasn't, he was kind of inefficient, wasn't very aggressive. And today he really stepped it up. He looks like he's back to his old self the last couple of games, baby. But Morris has been like clockwork, man. If he gets an inch of space, he's draining it. If you need it, things get a little hairy and he's on the bench, they bring him back in. He's going to hit a shot. He's been playing great. He's been playing really solid defense. So, and it's not even an argument, right? Because this is one of those things where there's no wrong answer. Tatum's been incredible all season. A little swoon. I think Morris has been, even when things were a little tough, Morris kind of kept things afloat, and that was really cool to see, man. It really sucks that there's probably no way they can keep him past this year.
Right, I mean, he's going to get paid after this year, and he deserves it. But as far as second most important, I would say probably Al Horford. As far as building a championship, I mean, he's really the glue of this team.
Oh, hands down. I go with you. I think at times you could argue last season he was their best player. Because while Kyrie
was
a great scorer,
he might have been the MVP last year.
There you go.
Kyrie might have been the best player, but
I'm going to say this because of Kyrie's defensive deficiencies last year, and obviously with all the games he missed last year, Kyrie was in and out of the lineup with different injuries, and that's why I thought Al might have had he was just so good defensively last year. And I felt like this year, Al might have slipped just a little bit, and he's dealing with the knee issues, right? So, he's still great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's aging, but the knee obviously slowed him down. We saw that, and they sat him down for a while, and he's looking much better right now. But he's incredible, man. I hope they can keep him. If they can keep him to 20, 22 minutes a game here on out for overall, because he's going to have some games he has to play big minutes. If they keep his minutes down and keep him fresh for the playoffs, he's going to be like we saw last year what he did in the playoffs, right? He was just man. So
he's
I'm looking
a new
at,
man.
He was a new man, man. So Marcus Smart and Morris got inserted to the starting lineup on November 26th, and Marcus Morris since then is averaging 17 points a game, 5 rebounds. And he's shooting 44% from 3 on 6 threes a night.
Wow. Not what you expected.
Sorry. I mean, I knew he was good. I didn't know he was that good.
Right. We got some mic trouble?
I don't know. Can you am I echoing?
No, you good? I know we're on different coasts.
Yeah, okay. I just don't know. There's not a lot to say about this game, right? I mean, you beat a team by almost 30. There's not a lot to analyze in this game. So let's talk about that, man. We got all the guys back healthy. We're waiting for Aaron Baines, right? Can you grade the team what you've seen so far. All right, let's give them a grade up to the – we're at the halfway point of the season, right? So grade the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're past January 1st, which is kind of like the benchmark of where I said earlier that, you know, when it comes to making a move around now, you should know some of what your team is. But I guess the expectations were so high at the beginning of the season. And to see the Celtics in fifth place right now, I got to give it a C plus. I mean, we've seen flashes of brilliance, but wasn't this the team that was supposed to run away with the Eastern Conference and there was supposed to be no competition and we thought the Raptors were fake, but they turned out to be real and, you know, no LeBron in the East. I mean, all the circumstances that have happened, you know, the first couple months of the season count. And, you know, obviously they're on a little bit of a hot streak right now, but still, I got to give it a C+. It's been, you know, just above average. Definitely expectations have not met. They haven't met expectations so far. Obviously inserting Kyrie and Gordon back into the lineup was going to be tough. I didn't think a lot of people thought it would be that hard of a transition. It didn't take that much time, but it has, and we've seen it look – you know, we've seen it look, you know, beautiful at times. It's all about who's going to step up that night, which is obviously hard. I mean, that's so it's inconsistent. It's consistently inconsistent when you know someone's going to show up, but you don't know who's going to show up.
And I think that was definitely a problem in the first like 3 weeks. That 10-10 start. I really feel that that Kyrie, it's solidified a bit now. Well, we know that We know Jason Tatum. We know Marcus Morris, and we know Kyrie are going to show up. Al is the one that is the X factor, and Jaylen Brown, I think, is the true X factor off the bench, where if he can comes in and he can give quality minutes as he's been doing for the past 2 or 3 weeks, then that could change the whole complexion, because he was really bad the first 3 weeks of the season, like actively harming the team. His defense wasn't good. His offense was horrible. He seemed like his confidence was shot, and I feel like even when he went to the bench at first, when I was supposed to be to balance the roster, he really struggled with that more than anybody else. And he's starting to come out of that funk, it seems like.
Right. I mean, I think he's starting to put the team first. And obviously, he's an all-star guy, and he's not used to that. So, I mean, that wouldn't be an easy transition for anyone. But I think he's starting to see that role. He kind of understands the situation.
Yeah, it's incredible, man, that they had such a strong run to end the year last year. And, you know, he went to the summer thinking that, you know, that was the first step and things would get better from there. And obviously when his role changes drastically, it shows, right? And he thought he was going to come in and handle the ball a lot and be able to attack. And that's just not what they want him to do. So it's good to see. I really felt bad for him. I heard the tape, the trade chatter, and I love Jaylen Brown. I love his game. I love his mentality. So it really sucked to watch him struggle early in the year. So this is a nice change.
Definitely. I mean, if they play like they did tonight, see a lot more outcomes like this.
I'm also looking, since they inserted Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris start lineup. Our young adult son, Jason Tatum, is averaging right at about 16 points a game, which is a bump from last year, but it's a little down from what he was at earlier. But his shooting has come on. He's shooting 45%. He's still struggling with the three ball a bit. He's only shooting 33% from three since that's late November, November 26th. Yeah, so the three ball, I don't know why I thought he came out of that little funk and was hitting three. It's hitting threes at a better rate now. But no, Tatum's really, it's a long season. He's a second year player. He's still learning his way through it. I think he still isos up a little bit too much. I saw today a couple plays where he could have moved the ball and probably found a better shot, but he was concentrating on kind of saucing his man up and stuff. And it happens sometimes, right? As long as it's within the flow of the offense, it's not the end of the world. So,
right. I mean, well, the Celtics are at their best when they're in transition and they get a few passes on offense, moving the ball around. I mean, you saw tonight, the third quarter ball movement was unbelievable, and that's why they had such a hot start and they really just pulled away from that game.
It's a thing of beauty, man. Like you said, if they had been playing like this from day one and it continued to now, and even if their record would be, the record would be obviously better, but then I think then they would probably be a B plus team for you, not a C.
So what was that one more?
Oh, I was saying if they've been playing like this from the get go, like
their
grade would be a lot higher, right? Yeah.
Right. I mean, if they were around like second place, third place, you know, in grasp of, I mean, they're only three games down from Toronto, but it would definitely change the grade, but you know, obviously it didn't.
So let me ask you a question about our boy Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart is now, Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart has now started 19 games. What do you think he's shooting from three in those starts?
Say 40%.
All right. You're a little more optimistic than me. He is shooting 37.6% from three.
I mean, that's a heck of a lot better than it was last year. People were ready to take his head off every time he shot the ball.
That is incredible.
I mean, talk about a turn. I mean, I see videos on Twitter. I mean, they, you know, that's what those guys do. I mean, he knows his role, but if he wants to, it seems like he wants to increase that even further. And I think he knows he has a tradable contract. So I think in his mind, maybe it's, you know, I got to do everything I can to make sure this is the place I want to be. I gotta elevate my game now. I can't just be a bulldog. You know, they can find another bulldog like that. Can they find a bulldog that will go to war but can shoot the three when needed? I think, you know, that's a guy you can't trade.
I mean, if he can maintain about this, let's say he keeps shooting about 35% throughout the whole season, he's the ultimate 3-and-D guard.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, as a starter, he's averaging about 9 points, almost 5 assists, almost 2.5 steals in just 30 minutes a game. That guy's incredible. What a team, man. What a team.
Oh, yeah. No, he's fun to watch, man. He's a throwback. He's a guy that just puts his nose to the grindstone and obviously just, you know, he makes plays. He's just got that unidentifiable quality about him.
Yeah, when people talk intangibles, that's Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Right? When you talk, that's well, Marcus Smart. He's a good one. What else can we talk about? I mean, who's your player of the game?
Player of the game. I mean, it could go to – I guess you got to go Marcus Morris. I feel like I pick him every single time I do the recap or the, you know, the post-game show, but – again, he led the team in points, and or he was at least tied with the points, and he led the team in rebounds. Was gritty. Look, even a guy like him, he's 7 for 7 from the free throw line. I mean, that just makes him even uber valuable. You can't take him off the court in late games,
I saw. Yeah, I watched one of the broadcasts the other day, and they were saying that you know, he missed a free throw, and he was just like a fraction percentage point behind Gordon Hayward for, you know, one of the best free throw shooters on the team. So. He's he makes free throws, he rebounds, he defends, he scores on all levels. That's what you'd want, you know, as a versatile guy in any basketball team.
Right.
I think I'm gonna give the player of the game. I'm gonna give it to our boy Daniel Theis. Right, 12 points, 6 rebounds, a couple big blocks, and you know. Again, the good thing about him is on the perimeter, he can switch out on a lot of perimeter guys and still hold his own. So I'm gonna give him a nod for that. Like you said, hey, our Big Al only had to play 18 minutes, and a big part of that was because Theis did such a good job in helping hold the lead.
Yeah, I mean Theis filled that role perfectly. I thought he played down low pretty well, especially on the defensive end. And he was definitely a difference maker. I obviously they probably could have won the game without him, but he stepped up, and that'll probably, you know, earn him some more minutes even when Baines gets back.
Absolutely, and you know, that's the good thing about a guy like Theis. I think he understands his role. He'll play, you know, play big when they need him to, but he also understands it's all about matchups, right? When Baines gets back and they're playing the heavyweight, we saw what Embiid did to Titans the other day. You know, like bigger guys are going to just give him trouble. He's a splendid guy. So,
right.
So,
he's not a beefy man.
Not a beefy man at all. So on the other side of the spectrum, Sabonis got a little loose, 20 points and only 9 shots. Tyreke Evans came in and he's been struggling this year, but he came in and I thought he gave them really good minutes. Was that?
I was surprised to see who's still in the league when the season started.
Oh. So here's the thing with Tyreke. He was really good last year. He was really good for Memphis. He was decent last year, and this year he's been really struggling. I think they gave him a decent contract, and he's struggling this year. But yeah, I mean,
last year he averaged 19 points a game for Memphis.
Wow, was it 19?
Yeah, I mean, he only played in 52 games, but I mean, still.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And he shot the three ball at almost 40% too. And that's some big time struggles for him.
Yeah, this year he hasn't been what they expected in Indiana, and Indiana's been good enough where it hasn't really been a story. But yeah. So he had a good game for them tonight in a losing effort, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I think without Miles Turner, that kind of changes things a little bit. So it kind of takes a little bit of the bloom off the victory, but I mean, I don't think Miles Turner is a 30-point difference in the game.
Right.
So, we can look ahead a little bit.
Do we have any callers?
Yeah, let's see what we got. Let's the phone lines. We do have a couple callers. So, let's see who this is here. Hey, 413, you're on the air.
I'm sorry, just listening. Thank you.
Just listening, no problem, buddy. And 603, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
New Hampshire guy.
Yeah, New Hampshire guy.
What's up, buddy?
I was at the game tonight at the Garden, and I was expecting a much closer game. How do you guys feel about the fact that, low numbers from Kyrie, low numbers from Al Horford. Didn't really need either of those two guys, but blowing out a team that's ahead of them in the standings. Do we want to start thinking that the Celtics are back, or are we still going to limit our expectations?
Go ahead, Colin.
I mean, are they back? Look, they've won 4 straight games, and 3 of those were by teams under 500. So, I mean, like we said, this wasn't a marquee win. This is a game on paper. If we're talking the beginning of the season, yeah, they should be beating them. I think Wednesday the 16th, Toronto Raptors, home, that's the game right now. I think that's the – mark your calendars. You'll know if the Celtics are back by then. How about that?
Yeah. Fair enough.
But, I mean, you talk about the guys not putting up – great numbers. I mean, would you rather have Kyrie just put up 40 points and, everyone else kind of middle around? Or, I mean, just look at, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys in double figures tonight. I think that's a better formula for a victory.
Yeah, it was really nice to see a bunch of the people that weren't our, super studs scoring with ease and having a great game. It was nice to see the ball spread around. And it was good to see a balanced scoring.
Okay, so I'm going to take the different tact here, all right, because the Celtics a few weeks ago on Christmas Day, they beat Philly. Sure, it was a bad, ugly Houston loss, but then Memphis is still a quality team. They beat Memphis. Spurs' loss was weird. Minnesota's been playing better lately. Dallas has been playing much better lately, and they beat them by 21. And then Brooklyn, as we know, has been on a crazy tear. They're back in the playoff race. They've been playing really well, and they get smacked by 21 by the Celtics. So, sure, they're banged-up teams, but you play with the front of you. I'm going to say that they're back. I think this is fine. We're seeing, finally, the Celtics that we thought we would see. They still got a little ways to go as far as timing and everybody getting on the same page. Aaron Baines has to get reintegrated back into the team. I'm going to say that they're back, and the rest of the league should be on notice.
You're putting that on paper right now. They're back.
I'm saying they're back, baby.
All right. Donnie Drippin says they're back. You got to trust him. Trust the man.
Probably shouldn't trust him.
I guess we'll see.
What else you got for us, man? Anything else for us?
No, I'll just listen to the rest of the show.
All right, my man. Thanks for calling in.
Hell yeah. Good night.
Colin.
My man, Snotty.
Hey, who's your favorite Celtic? Right now
or all time?
Right now. This version of the team. Just who's your favorite? Right now, who's the guy that you can't stop watching when he's on the field?
I played a similar role to Al Horford when I played basketball, like AAU in high school. So I always love like little things like having him be in the middle of a full court press and him getting a great, you know, wing pass to start a fast break. Like, so it's little things like that, I guess, for me, like just specifically, I guess it would be Al Horford. He's been here for a while now. I think this is maybe fourth or fifth year. Can't totally remember, but he just does all the little things. He never complains about his role. He's well respected throughout the league. People, you know, they say him all the time, like he's a championship quality player. He's a guy you need to win. And he really started this whole thing. I mean, Isaiah Thomas got him here. May his Celtics days rest in peace. But it was really Al Horford that was the allure to other guys like Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving. So I think he was, like I say, he's the glue on and off the court.
I love that guy, man. He's almost like the if Marcus Smart is like the ego, you know, the wild side of it, then Al Horford be the id, right? They both do it all. Of course, they're almost like yin and yang, right? Al Horford keeps his cool. He's technically precise. He's a good shooter. And Marcus is kind of like chaos on the court, but they both do so much positive to impact the game that having those two together on the team adds such a level of versatility, you know, and toughness to the team. So it's a good choice. Good choice. I'm going to go. It's always going to be Smart, man. Jalen came and I love Kyrie. Jason Tatum's impressive, but Smart, man, the way he gets after it. That's my guy. Big game tomorrow. Big game tomorrow. They're playing on TNT. They're playing the Heat.
I mean, yeah, back to back. That's not going to be easy. I think that'll be a pretty good indication of where they're at, too. I mean, it's hard to gauge when they have to play back to back what the team really is.
Yeah. So I guess the good thing about that, like you said, all the big guns had, you know, played low minutes. That's a good thing.
Right.
Miami's your boy Deion Waiters is back on the court. That'll be fun to watch. Him and Kyrie, as everyone knows, they used to be teammates in Cleveland for a couple seasons, at least a season. I don't remember how long they were teammates before Deion got traded. But yeah, him and Kyrie were teammates, and that should be some make for interesting headlines tomorrow. And you know what's hilarious to me? I don't know if you remember hearing this. There was a time when people were like, you know what Boston really needs? They got Isaiah Thomas. They got all these, you know, what they need somebody to – they need Whiteside. They need a guy like Whiteside to crash the boards and play big inside. And there was actually Oh, my God, dude.
Those were dark days when we really thought that all that was separating this team from a playoff run was that big man. You know, like DeMarcus Cousins, we need him. How can we win without him? And clearly that's just not how the NBA works anymore.
And you know what? Even like Cousins I could deal with, right? Because Cousins he's still talented. He's still he's productive. So hearing that was kind of wild, but still, you know, I don't want – but then it's Whiteside, dude. Yeah, make a trade for Whiteside. You need – can you imagine if we were paying $25 million for Whiteside to watch him half-ass it through every other game? You know, like what a nightmare that would be.
Sorry, repeat that last part.
Oh, I think what a nightmare. That would be a nightmare if White guy was...
No, it's not ideal at all for anyone.
But talking back to the Heat, it's funny in a lot of ways. They're like a bizarro version of the Celtics.
Right.
As far as they have a lot of perimeter guys who are kind of versatile and can handle and defend. Their strength in numbers for them. They don't have a Kyrie Irving level star or even an Al Horford level star, you know, but they do have a lot of like quality pieces around Whiteside that they're overpaid, but you can do by that now, and they're kind of hamstrung with the roster they have. But it kind of makes me sad because, you know, we saw this once really good, really kind of a high-level franchise. Dwayne Wade was there. LeBron and Chris Bosh came there. And that team, you know, they racked up a lot of wins in a lot of years. And now they're just swimming around and they're just running on the mediocrity treadmill, and I don't know their path forward as a franchise.
I think they just need, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny to think how many franchises will LeBron James just tank once he leaves? But, you know, how many more times will that happen? You know, he leaves Cleveland,
Lakers.
Right in the dumps. They leave Miami, not what they used to be. You know, now he's with the Lakers. You know, he goes back.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, they don't – unless they get lucky in one of these off seasons and they can actually land one of those stars. Right, they can't even land a star anymore. They use up all their cap space, re-signing their own guys. So, I'm looking at this roster. Josh Richardson has a lot of potential still to make a leap and maybe enter that, you know, borderline star category. James Johnson, Tyler Johnson, they're tough, you know, quality players. But, yeah, at this – I think if we look at the Heat right now, where are they at? Yeah, there is. They're 19-20. You know, that's right. They're a mediocre team. They play mediocre. It is what it is. That should be a not an easy Boston win, but I think the Boston's gonna win pretty handily. They're gonna pull away at the end. They're just too deep. Did I lose you? Did we lose Colin? You sure did.
Yes.
Oh, well, I guess I'm on my own. Hope he calls back in here soon. Colin dropped. There he is.
I'm back.
What's up, man? There you
go. I'm back, baby.
That's all right. You left me talking to myself for a minute, but it's okay.
I'm sure you hated that.
No, I was just saying that I don't know if you heard, but yeah, the Heat, you know, they're gonna play hard. They're gonna play together. Coach Flo is great, but I think that should be a pretty, solid win for the Celtics. It should not be a loss.
No, it'd be a good way to get. I think if they win this, they can get third in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, or in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, it would be a big win. They need to start clawing back every way they can.
Okay,
kind of put themselves in the hole here.
Yeah, that slow start. You know, there was laughs and jokes when they, you know, they were sixth and seventh. But you know, we're climbing. They're climbing fast. So here's the next slate of games. The next couple weeks. Like you said, Toronto's coming up next week. But in between that, we got Miami it's a pretty good. It's a little road trip at Miami, at Orlando, at Brooklyn. And you know what? That should be three W's right there. They should enter the Raptors game on a 7-game win streak.
You think so? I mean, which game is the trap game for them?
I would say out of those, Brooklyn's gonna want revenge, right? But they're gonna be well rested because they have a day off. I'll say Orlando. Orlando surprises teams. I think they're coming back down to earth a bit. You know, they start off the season really strong, and they look like Sacramento, where people thought, you're going to get together. I think they've fallen off a bit since then. I'm going to look at their schedule and see if my eye test is my memory's right. And, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of red after a lot of green early, you know. let's see, in December. So they're falling back down to earth, and they're kind of being more like the Atlanta Magic. But no, even though they still have a lot of good young pieces. Aaron Gordon, I think, is nice. Terrence Ross is nice. People would say Vucevic needs to be an all-star, which I don't care because he played for the Magic. They got the intriguing young pieces and Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba, you know, project still, got a lot of work to do. So they're going to be a tough team, I think, maybe in a couple of years if ownership and the front office does a better job than normal of actually developing and fostering a chemistry and a culture there. You know, they've been in transition for like the last since Shaq left. I mean, since Dwight Howard left.
Yeah, since Dwight left.
Yeah, a lot of turnover, and that's not good. You know, they haven't really developed a strong culture at all. So, but Evan Fournier hit that game winner the other day. You know, he's a decent kind of, you know, combo guard. So. Now, I guess my question is how they think they're going to win games when they're starting D.J. Augustin, but whatever.
I think it would be the Brooklyn game. You know, they play back-to-back, then they have to play another one in Florida, then fly all the way back. I mean, they just might be jet-lagged at that point, might not have much left in the tank. You know, Brooklyn has talent. We saw them beat, you know, LeBron and the Lakers. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
They really pushed the Warriors. They really pushed the Warriors the other day. So, you're probably right. Brooklyn probably, because Spencer Dinwiddie has been awesome. D'Angelo Russell, he was embarrassed last time they played Boston, so look for him to play better. So, yeah, you got a point.
Yeah, I mean, they're I don't know if they're on the rise, but you know, they're clawing their way back to being a playoff team.
Good for them. Right now they're in the playoff line.
I mean, after the Celtics just absolutely ruined that franchise with no hope for 5 years, I mean, they kind of deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. After we plundered them, we plundered them like that. Yeah, it sucks. It's not our fault, you know.
Big bank, check little bank.
Hey man, now we know why the phrase is out there. Don't never trade with Danny Ainge.
Nope. You think he's a little overrated as a trader?
The only thing that sticks out to me is the reports that during that one draft, he was willing to give up everything to try to land Justice Winslow.
Right.
Like,
I mean, that's got to make you kind of be like, bud, what are you thinking?
Yeah, but that's been, you know, that's a report. I don't know how true it is. You know, it seems like we heard from very good sources that it's true that at one point during that process, he was like, you know, people were like, you need to throttle back a little bit. So that's probably a pretty true event that happened. But look, all I can say is almost every move he's made since has landed. You know, Isaiah Thomas panned out. Jay Crowder panned out. They had Avery Bradley for so long. And when they had these players, they moved them for, like, value. And then when they got to their new team, they kind of fell apart, you know.
Right.
Look at Avery Bradley. People thought the Boston Celtics would fall apart defensively without Avery Bradley. And he got to Detroit, and he just looked so – hey, bless him, he just didn't look great. You know, Boston has him – I say this, Ainge and Brad Stevens together had a way of making players looking – not even looking better, but in the system that they played in, they maximized guys in ways they couldn't be maximized other places.
Right.
So, like, that's I mean, hey, he got Al Horford to sign. They flipped Isaiah and got Kyrie. And, like, the pick, I mean, none of that, it was an ace pick, you know. And Isaiah was gone just a few months later from Cleveland. They got Kyrie Irving. They got Kyrie Irving out of that. You know what I mean? That's, when you factor in also the Brooklyn trade, the Brooklyn heist, it's maybe – it maybe Danny Ainge is mythologized a little bit, right? Like, you know, it's like it's a legend, but
right. It's been one championship during his era. I mean, I'm not ready to call him, you know, the GOAT of GMs. I mean, he's not even the best GM in the city for sports.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, I can't argue to that. But the fact is that, like, never trade with Danny Ainge might be true, because all the trades that have happened on his watch, well, not all, obviously not all, but it seems like every trade that happened on his watch, it turns out in Boston's favor. So,
besides that Perkins Jeff Green deal, that still haunts me.
Yeah.
We just won't remember it. We'll just forget about it.
Yeah. I'll say this. He's matured as a GM since then. How about that?
Right.
Like, yeah.
No. Well, at wings were all the rage back then. And Jeff Green, every year, it seemed to be, this is the year he takes it to that next level. It just never really panned out. He's still a decent player.
After the trade is when he had the heart issue. So, I think it's hard for a player to come back the way he was after such a major thing. I'm not saying, like, that's anything that would happen. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But, yes, Jeff Green always had so much potential. He never seemed to be quite the same level of guy, and he was never high level. But I think that whole issue kind of maybe derailed. What's that?
I said he was a top five pick back way when.
Yeah. So he was
by the Celtics, too.
Yeah, that's actually not the greatest pick how you look at it. So.
You got the live read?
Oh, yeah, I guess we better do it. You got me caught up just running my lips. Quality radio here. High quality radio. So, to all the listeners out there, thanks for listening. This episode is sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a historic attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. It's located at 113 Salem Street. Bam. Nailed it.
Solid, man.
You know, I've been working it. So, am I having bad sound today? Is that why you keep asking?
No. I said you sound good.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I've been working it. So, you know what? I haven't talked to you since in a while. So, what are some New Year's resolutions that you have for the Celtics?
I would say trust the process and stick with this roster.
You can't say that. Don't you dare. You can't say that.
I'm stealing it. It's Boston's now. Trust the process. It's Boston's now. I was thinking about how to get Anthony Davis, and it would have to be Tatum, Rozier, probably Marcus Morris, Sacramento, and the Clipper first round picks. I just don't think it's worth it, especially in season. You don't know if you can re-sign them. So
absolutely
stay the course.
Yep.
Stay the course. If you're going to trade one guy, it's got to be Rozier, just because he's not getting enough time, especially early in games where I think he needs to be in there within the first, you know, 6-7 minutes to really be effective the way he can be and the way we saw last season. But I think this is it. This is the roster. This is the one you made. Don't get scared halfway through the season because things aren't going the way you thought they would. So I guess that would be my point of emphasis.
Yeah, I think that they really picked it up, man. Like I said, since it was a 10-10 start, now they're like 15-5 or something. So they've really turned it around since that start, and now the guys are getting healthy. You know, I think we're going to see them take off a bit. So, for me, I would say that Jaylen Brown, he did New Year's resolutions. He should get a bunch of Steve Nash mixtapes and a bunch of Jason Kidd YouTube clips, and work on his passing. And I think he might have actually started on that. Like I said, we've seen more drive and dish Jalen, which is remarkable because, yeah, he was a black hole for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be about it, man. Like you said, the team really has, you know, once Aaron Baines gets back, there's no real holes on the roster. They, you know,
right.
If you play big, they could throw out – if you go, they go big, you could throw out you know, they could throw out Baines and Horford at the 4 and 5. You go small, Horford goes down to the 5, and you got Marcus Morris playing 4. And he can guard anybody. You got power forward who's a, you know, a stretch or a small 4. The only issue the team, I guess another resolution I would have is I'd have the whole team go on a one of those like trust trips for a weekend where they work on team building exercises and you trust
go camping in the woods.
That's it. They all just got to get on the same page, and I think they're getting there too. Early in the season, right? It was really disjointed. Now they're starting to. Hey, like I think you know they're leading. I just saw a graphic during the game. They're leading. Like, you know, in the last stretch, in the last nice little stretch, they have, like, one of the highest assist rates in the league, you know, for sharing the ball. And I think I want to say today was, like, their 5th game in a row with more than 30 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Some nonsense like that, which is – that's incredible. You know, that's remarkable. So that's all I got. That's all I really got, I think, man.
It's tough. It's tough when the Celtics blow them out by, you know, whatever it was, almost 30 points.
Yeah, we got nothing really to talk about.
Makes our job easier and harder.
I'm trying to get some negatives from the game, and the only thing I can think of is they went through a little stretch where they turned the ball over a lot, and
right.
they were trying to run their sets, and they weren't making reads. They were just running through the script of what they're supposed to be doing, and Indiana was just sitting in the passing lane, and that's when they thought, you know, Indiana tried to make a little comeback. I think Oladipo had a steal, then like Collison grabbed one, and. You know, they put together that nice little their little mini spurt, and then the Celtics just buried them again, so it didn't really matter, you know. So turnovers would be the one thing. They have a lull. I think almost every third quarter they go through a lull where they just kind of they kind of let go of the rope a little bit, and they gotta
right.
You know,
the second and third quarter, they kind of take their foot off the gas for a couple of minutes, and you know it's almost a game. I mean, that first quarter, I mean, it was 6 points, and there's a little bit at the beginning, but that's about it.
Yeah, man. You think I guess that's the one thing I wish they could clean up is just now that they're giving better effort throughout the games, I would like to see them give more consistent effort. Because, yeah, like in the game, they go through these little lulls where all of a sudden they can't guard. They can't make shots for about, you know, 6-7 minutes. So, and that's maybe I'm being nitpicky again. But that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you can critique this team tonight is to be nitpicky. So, you know, kind of out of your hands. I thought they did a really good job on Oladipo too, especially Smart. He's been a Celtics killer. And, you know, before this game, the Pacers had a 3-game win streak against the Celtics. So, you know, stopping that skid, getting some momentum, climbing back up the standings.
Yeah, Oladipo definitely has become one of the better volume scorers in the league where, you know, he's going to take a lot of shots. He's going to make a lot of shots. He's not inefficient. He just, you know, he's a big part of their offense. And him taking and, you know, penetrating and getting to the rim and his pull-up, that's a big part of their offense. And the fact that he only got off 13 shots, I know he didn't play really in the fourth, so that kind of skews it. But the fact is, yeah, the game got away from him before he could get going. So that you know, like you said, Marcus Smart made him work. Boston, they made him see a wall of Celtics everywhere he turned. They never let him get loose and never let him get comfortable. And that's how you deal with a scorer like him, because when he gets into a rhythm, he's really dangerous. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good to see. That was really good to see.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's we can wrap this thing up. I think you got anything you want to let the people know where they can find you.
Hey, you can follow me at Leds12 LEDDS12. Always a pleasure with you, Snotty.
Thank you, my brother. It's been a while since I've been on. I'm going to try to be a more mindful member of the team here.
West Coast, best coast, right?
West Coast, best coast. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I don't know how I can survive out here in Cali. I don't know if you understand. It's let me think. It was like 70 degrees today. And it was my t-shirt.
Oh, for you.
So, yeah, dude, it's tough, but I'm making it. I'm making it.
Yeah. No shoveling for you.
I'm providing.
That'll be me next week.
Oh, yeah? Where are you going?
Massachusetts.
Oh, you're going to be shoveling. I thought you meant you were going to have no shoveling next year. Okay, I got you.
No. We will have shoveling. I want to make that very clear that shoveling will be in my repertoire.
Yikes. I can't imagine what that's like. Dude. That sounds like blood. No, that's,
nothing
yeah,
that.
That's good, man. So you can follow me at Snotty Drippin' on Twitter. My man Colin Letty, check him out. And like I said, big game tomorrow against the Heat on TV. You guys can check him out. Boston Celtics will be on TNT. See if they can run this to 4 games in a row. Thanks for all the listeners, and hope you listen in tomorrow too. Check out you can also check out our guys over at YouTube, CLNS Media, for exclusive audio and video coverage. That's all I got, brother. You got anything else?
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. Oh, you got one more caller. Should we try to take it?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? One more call. We got 818. That's what, that's LA. 818, what's up? Just listening? I guess you're just listening.
Just listening, man.
All right, just like the rest of us, man. We were just watching, man, watching the Celtics greatness tonight. So for Colin Lady, I'm James Holis, a.k.a. Snotty Drippin'. We'll see you on the flip side.